Last week, when I finished my blog, I promised to tell you some more about the trip to Greenland, which I made this summer with my mate Ian in his Fisher 37 and my son-in-law Dan. And a grand trip it was, and that's what I'm going to do. But when I finish, I've got something to tell you which is not such good news. it won't spoil your day, but it hasn't done much for mine. So here we go. A brief look at the next few days in Greenland. We'd arrived at the Inuit settlement at the north side of Scoresby Sound. Scoresby Sound is a massive fjord which penetrates into the East Greenland coast at 70 degrees north. It's about over 100 miles long, the fjord, and 20 miles wide or more for much of its length. The south side of the fjord is vertical basalt cliffs, 4,000 feet high and more, with great mountains behind them and the huge glimmer of the ice cap, with ice glaciers running off it and carving bergs into the fjord and thence into the North Atlantic. The north side of the fjord is a bit flatter, but behind it, once again, you can see the big mountains rising up. But it's a philosophical place, I can tell you. And icebergs are cruising around in there. Not too densely packed in the outer stretches. That comes later. And we decided that we were going to press on inwards up the fjord. We'd cleared insofar as we were able at Scoresby Sound. Actually, nobody seemed very interested in us at the settlement. It was mostly Inuit people. There was a great Danish guy who ran a meteorological place, and he wasn't bothered about us at all. And there was another fellow who seemed to be a sort of official, but he didn't care either. So in we went, and we anchored for the night in a bay just by the settlement. The actual settlement itself has no sensible harbour at all. The sea runs in there all the way from Norway, and it's a rough place with little bergs, bergy bits, and growlers cruising around to pull your anchor out and give your boat a hard time. And the waves basically crashing onto the rock face. Not nice, but a couple of miles away, there's this excellent anchorage where we had a really good sleep. Strong wind blew down off the glacier. A katabatic wind, but it troubled us very little because we were anchored in 30 feet with goodness knows how much chain out, probably 150, 200 feet, absolutely snug as a bug in a rug. We had a great night. And when we got up, we decided to proceed up the fjord, and away we went, full of hope, wondering what we were going to find when we got high up into the depth of Greenland. And, well, we started off in good shape, and 3 hours later the engine blew. Unbelievable. This is a fishing boat engine that Ian has rebuilt. It didn't seize and it didn't stop, but it started to overheat, and when he opened the floor we found there was water pouring in, and we're on our own look here. There's no possible assistance, so we had to sort this out ourselves. And I can tell you what, in a situation like that, my mate Ian McGilvery, he's your man. There's nothing that man can't fix, I don't believe. What had happened was, the engine was great, but it had blown a very old copper pipe that had looked fine, but it turned out it wasn't. It had cracked. He tried to solder it together with the last of our solder, with Dan holding it still in pincers while he did it, but no result. And in the end, the two of them managed to sleeve it. Meanwhile, I'm on deck fending off the little bergs that are coming down on us and the growlers. They all seem to be magnetised towards the boat when she's sitting there, but I was able to run her downwind under bare poles. There was a bit of a breeze blowing, and I was able to steer her past most of it, and the occasional one needed a shove with the boat hook. But we got away. They got the engine going again, and away to windward we plugged up the fjord. We couldn't sail because we were going straight into the wind, and we wanted to get somewhere, and we had plenty of fuel. And so on we went. As we approached Denmark Island, that is, which is, I'm not sure, I think it's 60 or 70 miles inland, we realised that the ice was thickening up a lot. There are some side fjords come in there, and there were big glaciers in there carving bergs. And in the end, we were having to just jink our way in through bergs and bergy bits and growlers. But we found our way into the anchorage, Hekla Harbour, on Denmark Island. And there we spent a remarkable night. We met some Inuit who were probably hunting. There was a fine-looking big woman and her husband, who was a grand-looking chap, very strong, great chap, looked you straight in the eye. And there were two very old people who must have been their parents. I expect they were my age, but maybe they hadn't weathered so well up there in the far north. And they asked us what we thought of the weather. And we said we thought that the wind we were experiencing, which by now was up near gale force, it was just roaring down off the local glacier. Again, another of these katabatic local winds driven by the thermals. And we said we thought it was local, and they plugged off towards Scoresby Sound, 60 miles away in their little speedboat, bashing off through the twilight in the middle of the night. It was about 1 a.m. by now. And that was the last we saw of them for a week or 10 days. And then we saw them again, but more of that later. Right now, I've got to confess an act of total nonsense that has left me laid up. Nobody blamed but myself. Having been all the way to Greenland on Ian's wonderful boat, braved the ice and the fog and the gales and the polar bears, and nothing damaged, I've now basically wrecked myself. Here's how it happened. I had to make a little delivery when I got home. Some files I had to take across to somebody. I strapped them in my briefcase on the back of the motorbike, and off I went. And through some failure of the bungees on the motorbike, the briefcase fell off and it was run over by a truck. And I was on the King's Highway, the Queen's Highway, I should say, and I thought, well, I can get this back, but there's quite a fair bit of traffic, so I moved the bike round to where I'd dropped the briefcase, parked it in the gutter by the side of the road, and waited till the traffic had thinned out a bit. I thought, well, I can dash across there, get it. It was, you know, fair enough. No breaking any laws, and it wasn't going to harm anybody, because I made sure there was plenty of space between me and the next cars coming, and indeed, there was loads of room. But I felt I had not a moment to lose, and so I sprang off like a sprinter, like a 20-year-old. Bad mistake, because the next thing I knew, I felt as if I'd been shot in the calf. There was a pain like a full-on 240-volt electric shock ran at my leg from the heel to the knee, and I'd blown me Achilles tendon. Well, there I am in the middle of the road. I grabbed the briefcase and hobbled back to the bike, hid behind it. Next cars came back a few seconds later. No danger, but my goodness me, I was shocked. I felt completely as if I'd been put through the ringer. I got on the bike in due course, somehow rode it home. The wife gave me a hot sweet tea and packed me off to the doctor, who said, I'm afraid this is it. You have blown your Achilles tendon. And the bottom line is, my friends, I'm going to be in plaster or one of those moon boot things for at least the next 3 months. I don't know which it's going to be yet, because I haven't had my consultation, but I'll keep you posted. Oh dear, I'm a bit depressed really, but when I look at this wonderful picture on my desktop of the boat in the ice, clear blue skies and reflections, and I think, well, you know, life hasn't been too hard. It'll come right in the end, and there's a lot of people out there with worse problems than me. So there we go. I'll see you next time. Keep smiling, and I'm going to do my best.